just sense a real presence of the Lord and just feel totally today inadequate to speak the word of the Lord. I just believe the Lord's confirming his word, and this word's been with me for a couple of weeks. And already part of the psalm that Daniel read is part of the confirmation. Some of the songs that Grace has picked is part of the confirmation. None of us have communicated with each other. And Father, we just pray. We just call upon your presence and your power to continue amongst us, Father. To work through the weak vessels. Father, we pray that nothing would stand in the way of your Holy Spirit. Nothing would stand in the way of you moving and touching lives, changing lives, Father, for your praise and for your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that our hearts, our minds would be, and our spirits, oh God, would be open to receive from your Spirit, Lord. I pray, oh God, that your Spirit, Lord, would just wrestle with us and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I just sense the presence and power all over me at the moment. And what a mighty God we serve. Jesus. Hallelujah. Just invite your Holy Spirit to just come. Move amongst us, Lord. Breakers, makers, moulders, oh God, into vessels fit for your service, Father, we pray. Praise God. Amen. You know, we, as the people of God, are on a journey. We're on a journey. God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. Don't dive out the boat. Stay on course. Stay in the Word. Listen to the Word and let the Word begin to shape us and mold us and to make us for His praise and for His glory. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible, will you turn with me to Psalm 18? Psalm 18. Praise his name. You know, the Who hasn't got a Bible? Just raise your hand. Who hasn't got a Bible? Right. After service, you come and see me. In that room over there, we have loads of Bible, brand new Bibles, and there'll be a big discount on them today. You need this book. This is alive. This is powerful. This is food. This is what gives us life. Isn't that right, Louise?
Yeah.
Amen. You've seen it change you, haven't you? Ah, what a change in you. Psalm, have you found Psalm 18?
Yeah.
Praise God. This is the Psalm of David, of giving thanks and praise for his deliverance.
Amen.
And today, we serve a God who is a delivering God. We serve a God who sets captives free. We serve a God who is a healing God. This last few weeks we have seen people being healed. Shirley was touched in a mighty way. Weren't you? You felt something. It's not just an imagination. Ian, it's not just an imagination. And later on when we start our study courses, I'm going to teach you about that experience. I'm going to teach what it is. To you, that you have a better understanding of what God is doing. Right now, there is a presence up here. There is a tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And David starts off this psalm, he says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. Daniel was reading, he's our rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Hallelujah. Whatever you need today, God is there for you. Jesus has done it all, that each and every one of us might know this freedom in Christ. And David, the servant of the Lord, is writing this psalm. It's a song of rejoicing. It's a song of declaration. It's a song of deliverance. It's a song of thanksgiving that all his enemies have been handed over and destroyed. Hallelujah. Let me tell you today, believe it or not, your enemy has been handed over and is defeated. Hallelujah. In that name, on that cross, the name and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed the work of the enemy. God wants us to live in that life. In that destruction against the enemy, he's brought us freedom. That we can live in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not living in condemnation. We're not living in fear. What happens if I get this? What happens if I get that? Well, you just go to glory quicker. Hallelujah. My destiny is glory. Where's yours? I'm not afraid to go to glory. Hallelujah. You know, Paul says, for me to live, and when he means live, he means, you know, come on, there's a fire burning. For me to live, he says, is Christ. Oh, he says, but to die, he says, oh, I'm ready, he says, I'm ready. Obviously, heaven's not ready. Hallelujah. Praise God, we've work to do. And that the Lord is working in and each and every one of us. In verse 1, he says, he starts off, I love you, God. I love you, God. What does it mean? That word love means this. It means, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to cherish you. I have a deep love for you, like a parent for a child. Wow. To be compassionate as God is compassionate towards men right now. God is compassionate towards each and every one of us, every mankind. Hallelujah. And he says, Lord, I love you. He says, Lord, I just want to be cherished. And I want to cherish you. I want to be part of you. I want to everything about me to be connected with you.
Yes.
He goes on to say, the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's my strength. And when he talks about the Lord, when he says, I love thee, Lord, who's he speaking of? He says this. He's in the Hebrew, it's the word for Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? It means He who is. Hallelujah. He who is. You know, I spoke for 6 weeks on the I Ams. Hallelujah. He who is. Or another terminology that could be used for this name of Yahweh could mean He who brings beings into being. Did you get that? He who brings beings into being. Hallelujah. Are you a being? Well, He's bringing you to be something. He brings beings into being. We're not people living in a disaster situation. We're not people living in a plague. We're people who are living the life of the Almighty God through us. That's who we should be. That is what we are called to. That's what we are appointed to. But trouble is, it's not preached in the church. Oh, you know. If it be thy will, O God. Don't you ever pray that in this church and let me hear you. We will have words. It is, if you need to find out what God's will is, and God's will is that we're all set free. God's will is that He heals all their diseases. God's will is that He provides for us. The work is complete, it is finished. This is He who is. What do you need today? What do you need today? He who is your every need. He's your I Am. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, He is your I Am. He's your deliverer. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock. Praise God. It's that firm foundation that we are built upon, the firm foundation. Jesus told the story of the foolish man who built his house upon sand. And then the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Today, that rock is Christ Jesus. Build your life on Christ Jesus. Build your life on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that sets you free. It's the Word of God that brings healing. It's the Word of God that gets rid of fear. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that will destroy fear and negativeness. Jesus was never negative. He was always positive. He was always multiplying. Hallelujah. He was never destroying and taking away. He was a multiplier. A rock. A firm foundation. Build your life on the Word of God. Not what the newspapers say. Not what the TV says. Not what your neighbour says. God's not interested how well educated you are. What He wants to know, how well do you know Him? Whom to know is life eternal. That's what God wants to know. How well do you know Him? When you know Him, everything else that is going on, you have no fear. There's no condemnation. We stand in the presence of a holy God. Lord, the Lord is my rock. and my fortress, my strong tower. Hallelujah. You know, when the enemy comes in, he says, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard like a flood. Hallelujah. You know, so often it's being read, when the enemy comes in like a flood. No, he don't come in like a flood, because for a start, the angels outnumber the demons. So there can't be a flood of them. It's got to be the other way round. Logic even tells you that when you read the book. So when the enemy comes in, oh, hallelujah, pause on that thought. When the enemy comes in, pause there and look to the Lord and see that like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in. Come on, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that is driving. The Spirit of the Lord is one that is flooding. Hallelujah. The Lord has built for us a strong tower. The tower of salvation. The tower of healing. The tower of blessings and of an abundance into our lives. We can run into that tower, it says, in the day of trouble. It goes on to say that I take refuge. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock and my refuge. Hallelujah. We've got somewhere to run to. If you're feeling weak and distressed, don't turn to the doctor. Turn to Jesus. Turn to God. He's the one. He's the Almighty One. He knows you. He made you. I was reading the other day that in one square inch of skin, there is 150,000 particles of flesh. I'm like, what? Mind blowing. Just within that one inch, 150,000 particles, components of flesh. Wow. I can't add me up, can you? Glory to God. David might have more than me, actually. but this is mind blowing God has made us and shaped us. And He can fix us. He can fix us. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. When it said there, it says, my deliverer. I was reminded when Joshua was looking at the city, thinking, how are we going to break through? How are we going to destroy this? And at that night time, as he stood and looked over the city, he said that the commander of the armies of the Lord appeared before him. I can't imagine Joshua. He's a warrior. He pulls out his sword and says, who are you? Are you for us or are you against us? Who are you? And the angel says to him, I am the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua went, okay, I give in, okay. Take off your shoes, this is holy ground. Hallelujah. He came to deliver. He fights our battles, believe it or not. We need to let God fight the battles. I remember many years ago I was fighting a battle. Really fighting and raging against the enemy. Satanic forces, and I was just not winning this battle. And I could see this demon before me. And I was battling away, and all of a sudden I heard a voice from behind me shout, "Kneel!" And I saw myself drop to my knees. And as I dropped to my knees, this hand swept across from behind me and struck this thing that was in front of me. And the thing went rolling and rolling and rolling until it was totally out of sight. And I turned round and I said to God, "Why didn't you do that earlier?" Do you know what he said to me? He said, "You were in the way. You were in the way." That was, you know. And in the head, God had to shout at me, "Kneel." And as I took that position, the hand of God swept over the top of me and struck the enemy and sent him rolling. No more trouble. No more stress. Hallelujah. He fights our battles. He fights our battles. For us, it is that we rest in the presence of a holy God. We rest in the peace of a holy God. So often you're told, "You've got to fight, you've got to fight." No, you've got to be at peace. "My peace I leave with you," he said. He gave us the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to equip our spirit that we fight in the dimension of the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. We pull down principalities and powers. We stand firm on the rock. We stand firm on this rock, this Word of God. Praise his wonderful name. He's a high tower. Our lives are fixed. It's not just a high tower, but it's like a mountaintop where God has placed us. And the enemy's trying to get up there. He can't do it. Don't go down to him. Don't go down to him. Continue climbing higher into the presence of Almighty God. Verse 3 says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies." Yet the moment that we begin to call upon the Lord, we are saved from our enemies. His delivering power begins to work in our lives. But it's a choice. David says, I called upon the Lord. There's an action. There's an action. Calling on God. It was a choice that he called on the Lord. He said, what does it mean? He says, "I cried out." Some of the word, "I cried out with a loud voice." Another one, "I roared at God." I summoned God to my knees. Hallelujah. The moment he hears the cry of his children, God says, "I'm here. Never left you. I'm always here there for you." You know, this from David is a specific declaration. I called, I cried upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalm 116 and verse 2 says this. Psalm 116 and verse 2. "Because he," God, "hath inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live." Hallelujah. I will call upon the Lord as long as I live. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 6 to Psalm 18. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Have you ever been in distress?
Yeah.
Have you ever been troubled? Have you ever been challenged? Have you ever been in a situation where fear was ruling so much over your life that it brought distress, anxiety, negativity?
Yeah.
I'm sure David, he was in fear of his life when Saul was out to kill him and to destroy him. And yet, David knew he was anointed to be king. He was anointed, he was appointed to be king. And yet Saul sought to kill him. But yet deep down David knew that God will protect me. God will keep me. If God has made a promise, God will keep his promise. Hallelujah. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came up to his ears. God's listening to you. He's waiting for your voice to cry unto him. He's waiting for you to shout his name. He's waiting for you to declare his promises. He's waiting for you to begin to call upon him whom to know is life eternally, calling upon him. Praise his wonderful name. He says our cry comes up before God. Hallelujah. He's listening. He's listening. He's waiting. I'll say that again. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to call on him. He wants you in this word, because this word reveals who he is. Today, we're revealing something of who God is. David has cried unto the Lord, and verse 7 then says this. Oh, hallelujah. I love this. He says in verse 7, then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken, because he, God, was angry. Hallelujah. Something has come against his child. God was angry and he shook things. Hallelujah. You know, God will move heaven and earth for you. God will move out. God will change the winds and the waves for you. I'm not lying, it's in the book. The winds and the waves, Jesus spoke to them and said, peace, be still. It's in the book. If you've done it once, you'll do it again. I know some of you say, I don't believe that. Well, let me tell you this. When I went full time in Bentley, I took on a project. I had a vision to build a community centre. We had a manpower service scheme working for us, and these lads were, we were to the point of putting the roof tiles on the building. And the weather forecast for that week was it was going to rain every day. Which that meant the job was going to be held up some more. It had been held up enough. And Andrew would begin to get impatient. And so Andrew decided that something had to be done about this. And I remember every morning waking up and looking out the kitchen window, and it was beginning to sprinkle with rain. And I would stand there in the kitchen and I'd say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this rain and I bind it in the sky, and you will not fall over this area until after 4 o'clock today. Some people thought I was crazy. But let me tell you this, I went down to the site each morning, and the boys would say, "We're leaving early, we're leaving at lunchtime." I said, "Why's that?" "Because it's going to rain." I said, "No, it's not. It is not going to rain until after 4 o'clock, your finishing time, because I have prayed." And they laughed at me. And for 5 days, it never rained until after 4 o'clock and we finished the roof. Amen. Amen. Don't get excited, you know, glory to God. I remember, I scared some of these lads sometimes. We used to go into town to Wilco's. I don't know if it's still in town on that same street. But I used to go in there, and there was parking meters down that side. Well, I was getting next to no money, and I refused to pay for parking. So I would start driving down that street near where the old cinema was and towards that area, and I would pray as I was going down. I'd pray out loud, said, "Lord, I need a parking meter with about 15 to 20 minutes on it, Lord." Well, it was a busy street, and these guys would laugh at me. They always liked to come because they thought they were skiving, but just gave me an opportunity to show Jesus to them. And so I pulled, as I was going down this street, the street is full of cars, every parking meter is full. And then all of a sudden, as I'm driving down this street, a car pulls out and drives away. So what do? I just reverse in. Do you know, as soon as I unlock the doors, one of the lads, he gets out, he dives out. He runs up to the parking meter, looks at the parking meter, he comes running back, he says, "You're not going to believe this. There's 20 minutes on that meter." Thank you, Jesus. You know, it was only half hour. You put money in, it was for half an hour in them days. I said, "Lord, I need 20 minutes. "I don't believe you did that." I said, "I didn't. Jesus did it. I just asked him for it." Yeah, no matter what it is you're in need of, he's able to provide. It's having faith in him and trusting in his word. In those days, I felt I could have walked on water. You know what I mean? Just bring it on, Lord. Bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. Those days are coming again. The days of victory. The days of power. The days of his anointing. God was angry. Then he shook the earth and it quaked. And the foundations of the mountain were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. God gets angry when somebody comes against you. You don't need to. Just let God deal with them. I've been in situations where my own idea to deal with these people who've done wrong, I'll fix them. But I learned a lesson soon. Better off to let God fix them. He does a better job. And I don't stress about them. I move on to the next thing. Because while you're dealing with this issue, you're not dealing with the next thing that God has for you. While you're looking back, while you're having an argument with somebody, you've been delayed in the tactics of moving forward in God. While you're having a debate with somebody about the rights and the wrong, you're being delayed from doing the kingdom's work. Don't be caught out. Let God deal with it. You move on. You move on. Our God's power is earth-shattering power. And we need to realize that. When God gets angry, the world will know that God is angry. You know, when the walls of Jericho stood against Joshua and the children of Israel, God just sent a load of angels down from heaven, and all they did was just jump on the walls. And down the walls went. And today, archaeologists have found the walls of Jericho. They didn't fall over, they went down, just like that. And the people of God ran across See, if they'd have fallen over, there'd be in a pile of rubble. You'd have to climb over it. And the walls were 20 feet thick. You'd have to climb up 20 foot. So God made it easy. Down. He thinks of everything, by the way. He thinks of everything. You just follow Him. Walk in His ways and see God moving in power. Let's move to verse 16. He, God, sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. Hallelujah. Does God delight in you? Hallelujah. He delights in us. He rejoices over us. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful. You know, when we allow the Spirit of God to move amongst us, God stood up rejoicing. Heaven rejoices of what heaven is moving down on earth. You know, when you're seeing people healed, delivered and saved, that's heaven moving on earth. That's what it is. And don't say God cannot do it, because God can do all things. And you can't lie. It's truth. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful Savior. This same arresting power, this same mighty power that we just read about, God moving in such a powerful way, rescues us, delivers us from the work of our enemy. Hallelujah. He cares so much about you. He cares so much about you. Hallelujah. Verse 20 says this. And this is David boasting in God. He says, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleansing of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." You know, we know the whole story of David. He did make some mistakes. But you know, God said of David, "He's a man after my own heart. He's one with me. He's one that is so passionate about the things of mine that he wants the best." But you know, sometimes things just get in the way. But you know, David here is boasting. He's boasting in God. He's boasting of what God has done in him and with him and through him. You know, it's our responsibility to live a life of integrity. You know, we have to line up with the Word of God. We have to live a life of holiness before the Lord and before others. And when we do that, we will find the blessings of God coming upon us more and more. We'll find the presence of God working in our lives more and more. You know, the psalmist here is telling us God clearly delights in you. The God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God who made all things actually delights in you. You, that little speck on the earth. God delights in you. His eye is upon you. The angels have a charge
to watch over you. I thank God for my angels. I've kept them busy over the years. They've had to do a few things. They've had to get me out of a few scrapes. They've saved my life 3 times. One of them was by being stupid. The other two were not directly my fault, but I was nearly crushed quite twice under a car. 2 different occasions. But I'm still here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has an appointment. God has a destiny. God has a purpose. But it's allowing Him to fulfill His purpose and destiny in your life by surrendering yourself unto Him. Don't try and work it all out, because you aren't smart enough. Don't care how many degrees you've got. You'll never be smart enough to understand it all. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 to 24. Jeremiah 9 verses 23 to 24 says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Don't boast in yourself. Don't boast in the circumstances and situations. We can only boast in Almighty God. We can only give our praise to Him. And this is why I say in church, so many of you, when you've been healed, it is good to praise God. It is good to testify and say that today the Lord has healed me. Or last week, the Lord has healed me. Because it brings praise to Jesus. And it encourages faith in other people's lives. Praise His wonderful name. And I think in these last 3 weeks, I'm just working up the top of my head, there's going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people at least that in these last 3 weeks have been touched and healed by God. Amen? More than that, I go to 10. I'm just reminded of another 10 people. 10 people. And there may be some I don't know of. This is my God. This is my God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Let's quickly move on to verse 39 in Psalm 18. Verse 39 of Psalm 18. For Thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose against me. And Thou hast made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. Hallelujah. They have no defense on their back. And when they turn their back, they're easy to destroy. Here David is speaking of God's deliverance, of God's destruction over our enemies, of the death of our enemies, of our enemies submitting to us. The Lord is our rock and our salvation. It is God that will avenge us and subdue our enemies. It is God who lifts us up above circumstances. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance that you and I are facing, give it to God.
Amen.
And I tell you, whatever you've lost, take it to God. And God will bring it back to you, pressed down shaken together and running over. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you back what the enemy has stolen from you. God wants to see you prospering as you put Him first in your life. It is Christ first. When Grace and I were dating, it was Christ first, Grace second. The proposal wasn't very romantic. It was, I feel a call to the mission field. Are you prepared to go with me? If the answer's no, we might as well finish our relationship. Not very romantic, is it? But you see, I had a burning desire to fulfill what God had placed in my heart. And I had made that decision that nothing was going to stop me. Nothing was going to get in the way. And if Grace wasn't the one, if Grace wasn't going to come with me, then she was not the one to be with me. And I would be hindered in doing the work of the kingdom of God. Some people say, well, that was a risky, weren't it? It was. I loved her. But I loved God more. Some people would have turned to me if I'd have said, what do you think? If I ask her like this, what do you think? They'd have said to me, don't do it, Andrew, because, you know, she's not really travelled abroad. She's not really been, you know, she's always well-dressed and works in an office, and you know, she's not the sort of girl to head out to India or Africa or places like that, you know, and go and live in a mud hut or whatever it happens to be, you know. And so I wouldn't do it that way. If I were you, I should just keep that quiet for a while, and then when you've married her, then you can just lay it on her then. That's then too late, because that's when trouble starts. That's when things desperately go wrong. I put out the cards and said, this is what God has called me to. And thank God we've travelled abroad. We've been to Africa. We've been to various places. We've seen some amazing toilets. I'll leave it at that. But we've gone together in the strength of the Lord. Called together. We married each other. And the apron strings were cut. And we clung together. And we pressed on together. My father actually told me that she was not the girl for me. He pulled me in the front room one day to give me some advice. She's not the girl for you. She can't cook. She can't do this. She'll not be able to look after you. I thanked him for all of his advice. And I went out. Well, you see, the thing was that I'd already prayed about this. I said to God, Lord, I'm looking for a wife. And I need you to bring me a wife. I need you to bring me the right girl. There were loads of girls in the churches around. But I said, I need the right girl. And she came along. And my dad said, no. Now my dad says she's the best cook he's ever known. He thinks she's wonderful. Not that I'm knocking my sister's cooking neither, but, you know, they're both good cooks. I've got to be careful, haven't I, now? You see, Grace was willing to be taught as well. And she let my mother teach her. And Pauline as well. So together, they make it a great team. So I got the best of both worlds. Hallelujah. And I thank God that I nailed my colours to the mast. I made my statements. And I stood by them. I always will. God will meet every need.
we need to be listening to the voice of God. Don't just, you know, some people, they just run off and marry anybody. And then the next thing they know, it's a crisis situation. They get divorced, and then the next thing they're in another relationship, which is just identical to the one they left. And it's like, why? What happened? Let me tell you this. Put Jesus first. Let Jesus fix you. Let Jesus stand in the battle for you. Let Jesus bring to you the victories and the prizes that are for you in these future coming days.
Amen.
Verse 46 says this: the Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me up above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to thy name. He gives us deliverance to his King and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David, his descendants forever. Hallelujah. God will bring your enemy into submission. Don't you fight with them. Let God fight with them. The Lord is our rock. He's our salvation. He's our deliverer. He will be our avenger.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture, I can't just remember where it is, but the Lord is my battle axe. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I think it's in Jeremiah. I can't just remember the chapter. Can you imagine? God's the battle axe. Oh, you know, don't get in the way of that battle axe when God starts to wield the battle axe against your enemies. It's like I said when I said to you earlier, when God shouted to me, kneel! Pray. Pray and see God deliver. Pray and see God change circumstances. We prayed already in this area, and we will continue to pray, and God will change the circumstances for the churches. For us, for Flintwood, for the URC, but we need to pray and see God changing circumstances and situations in people's lives that we come into contact with. When it says here in this verse 50, he gives great deliverance. This word, again, it's Yeshua. He's beginning to bring deliverance. He's beginning to bring help to us and prosperity and salvation. He's saving us. He's bringing us to a place of security. He's bringing us to a place of victory. And he's bringing us victory upon victory upon victory. The God of our salvation. The God of our salvation. That's what Yeshua means. The God of our salvation. I am saved, I am being saved, and I'm going to be saved, if you want, for want of a better word. I'm constantly, the process is ongoing. Our lives need to be fully surrendered to him. And as we surrender to him, Yeshua, our God, our salvation, our hope, our future, nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's what it's about. Don't look to your past. Don't look to what you've been told before. Some of us have been sold a lie over the years. We were taught things because it fitted how they wanted us to act. Not necessarily how the book wrote it. And I'm very, very conscious that I never try and use this platform to correct somebody publicly. But we're here to teach the absolute truth of this Word of God. Because in the absolute truth of this word, there is life. There's healing. There's salvation. There's deliverance. Hallelujah. You know, Romans talks about renewing your mind. Get that mind renewed. Get that mind renewed. Stop listening to the voices that pull you down. Don't let that resentment and that bitterness break you. Throw it away. Don't let that anxiety bring you a point of stress, cause you to fail. Don't let jealousy hinder you. Don't let greed control you. Give Him everything. Our God, our sovereign Savior, He who is, He who brings beings into being. He called your name. He called your name and He brought you to birth. And He brought you to birth with a purpose, with a hope, with a future. You're not an accident on this earth. You are a plan of God. And you need to connect now with God's plan for your life and see God change it, form you, heal you, quicken you by His power and His presence. We serve a risen Lord. We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. He's our high tower. He's our strength. He's an awesome God. He can shatter the circumstances that hold you prisoner and set you free.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And if you've got a need today, and God's spoken into your heart today, God, the finger of God has just touched you and said, you, He's speaking to you. Then step out right now. I'm not going to be calling things out. You know if God's spoken to you. Just step out. The Lord wants to touch you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to know the touch of His hand upon your life. Don't be afraid. Don't sit there thinking, well, I'm not going to be first. Better to be first than last. Catch the fullness and the blessings of God's anointing. Don't let that fear control you and hold you back. Step out in faith. Who's going to be first?